الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue reading the brief treatise of الشيخ سليمان الرحيلي حفظه الله تعالى، أسباب سعادة الأسرة، the means for family happiness. PDFs have been made available, الحمد لله, and the PDF that we have here, the translation is a rough draft. Inshallah, we'll get some corrections together and we send it back out as a final version. So there are some mistakes that are going to be edited, inshallah ta'ala. In our previous class, we had read an introduction. The author, he mentioned Hafidhullah ta'ala, and we continue reading from where we left off, and that is on page 9, with regards to the first means. The first means and the fundamental foundation for all happiness and goodness in this life. He mentions حفظه الله تعالى إن من أسباب سعادة الأسر سببا كبيرا هو أصل السعادة كلها ولبها وروحها هو سر الحياة هو سر الراحة هو سر الطمأنينة من حصله حصل الخير الكثير ألا وهو عباد الله أن يحرص كل واحد من الأسرة على تحقيق الإيمان والعمل الصالح. One of the most significant means of family happiness, indeed the foundation, essence, spirit of all happiness, is something fundamental. It is the secret of life and the secret of tranquility and the secret of inner peace. Whoever obtains it, obtains immense goodness. What is it, O servants of Allah? It is that every member of the family strives to establish al-Iman, wal-amal al-salih, al-Iman, sincere, correct faith, and performing righteous and good deeds. We know that the definition of al-Iman with regards to Ahl Sunnah is that it consists of a statement on the tongue, a creed in the heart, and likewise actions on the limbs and body parts. So actions are from Iman. But to emphasize this affair, many times they're coupled together. So the righteous deeds, they're from Iman. Establishing the prayer, obligatory and non-obligatory, is from Iman. Giving the charity, obligatory and non-obligatory, is from Iman. Fasting, the obligatory and non-obligatory fast, is from Iman. Making the pilgrimage in the same manner, all of this is from Al-Iman. Being kind to your parents for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla is from Iman. Seeking knowledge and studying and reviewing and the likes, and making dua. All of these actions here are from Al-Iman. Performing the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions, hoping for the reward of Allah and fearing His punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is from Al-Iman. But to emphasize their mission coupled with Al-Iman. Because the true reality of the Iman, if it sinks in the heart and takes root, is that it will produce the fruits of good deeds. And noble conduct and manners. And the Iman will not be sound truly and good until those fruits are seen. Those benefits, and from the application of faith. Fulfilling the obligatory rites of faith and avoiding the prohibitions that violate those rites. So the key to all happiness and the means for all success in this life and the hereafter is to have Iman, is to be a believer. A believer in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And according to the strength and the goodness and how sound that Iman is would determine how much happiness a person he finds in this life and the hereafter. Understand this point. This is the foundation. This is the essence and means for all happiness. Anyone who is unhappy, then that's because of a deficiency in their faith. If they find unhappiness in their life and grief and sorrow and worry and stress and problems, this goes back to a deficiency in Iman. And the means to cure that is by returning to the Book of Allah and to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, by repenting to Allah Azza wa Jal and striving to learn the obligations that Allah has made mandatory and incumbent upon the people, and the rights that are pleasing to Allah, and to establish them in one's life, and to learn that which is forbidden and displeasing to Allah, and to avoid them in one's life, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, preferring the pleasure of Allah over the desires of the soul. In this manner, a person, he will obtain happiness, he will achieve goodness, and there's no other way. And there's no other way. By fulfilling the very purpose while we're created, in this manner, a person, he will find happiness, he will find contentment, he will find peace, he will find ease, he will find goodness, no matter what he's facing in life. Whether if he's in a time of hardship and difficulty, or whether if he's in a time of ease, prosperity, and goodness, he will be good, because Allah will guide him, and Allah will protect him, and Allah will grant him contentment and reliance and trust and great submission and surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, he will be guided. Allah, he mentioned in his book, يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. Their Lord guides them by their faith. So that is in this life and in the hereafter. The believers, they're guided by the light of Iman. So whenever the Iman is strong and is profound and good, then a person, he will be guided directly to the pleasure of Allah, and he will not stumble on that path. But if the light dims, then maybe he will be deterred, or he will stumble, or he will be slowed down, or can even be led astray, depending on how well he cherishes and takes good, depending on how well he takes care of that light and cherishes it. So this is the greatest blessing, the favor of favors, the favor of al-Iman. And the Iman, it must be preserved. It must be cherished. It must be loved and honored and respected. And a person, he must take care of his faith. He must take care of his deen. He must take care of his obedience to Allah and his Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not neglect that affair, because he's only neglecting his own soul, his own happiness and means of success. So the first means for happiness individually and also in the family is al-Iman wal-amal as-salih. Al-Imanu wal-amal as-salih. Yani the proper sound creed, believing in Allah, believing in the angels, believing in the books, believing in the messengers, believing in the last day, and believing in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, the good of it and the bad of it. الإيمان بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله واليوم الآخر. والإيمان بالقدر خيره وشره. To take care of these fundamentals here, to learn them properly with evidence from the book and the sunnah, the understanding of the best of this ummah from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the tabi'een and atba' tabi'een and the scholars of hadith upon their way until this day. And then act according to what that Iman requires and necessitates. At the head of that, fulfilling the obligations and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. So the Shaykh, he says, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ أَصُ الْحَيَاةِ الطَّيِّبَةِ, because this is the foundation of a good life. يَقُولَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Allah the Exalted, he says, whoever works righteous deeds, whether male or female, while he or she is a true believer, and a true believer is of Islamic monotheism, true believer in Tawheed, Khalis, verily to him we will give a good life. Verily to him we will give a good life. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن هذا شرط من الذي يشترطه رب العالمين وما هو هذا الشرط قال من عمل صالحا وما هو العمل الصالح. So this is the foundation of a good life. Allah the Most High, he says, whoever works righteous deeds, whether male or female, while they are a true believer. So this is a condition. Who laid down this condition? The Lord of the worlds. And what is this condition? Whoever works righteous deeds. Whoever works righteous deeds. This is a condition. A condition to have happiness. A condition to have happiness. So what is a righteous deed? If that's the case, then what is a righteous deed? He says, حفظه الله العمل الصالح ما طار صاحبه فيه بجناحين جناح الإخلاص لله فكان مخلصا لله في عمله والجناح المتابعة لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فكان العمل مشروعا في كتاب الله أو في سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا العمل الصالح. هذا العمل الصالح. A righteous deed is the one that flies on two wings. the wing of sincerity to Allah, so the person is sincere in their action, and the wing of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that the act is based on what is legislated in the book of Allah or in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is a righteous deed. That is a righteous deed. من عمل صالح من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن, whoever works righteous deeds, male or female, while being a believer, فحقق الإيمان. والعمل الصالح مع الإيمان, ما جواب الشرط وما جزاؤه. It says, and whoever works righteous deeds, male or female, while being a believer, so they combine faith with righteous actions. They combine faith with righteous actions. And it is sincere and good deeds along with faith. And it's based upon faith, and the deeds are performed according to the law and legislation. It's based upon faith, the actions. They're based upon sincere and true faith, and they are in accordance to that which is legislated and prescribed in the Quran and in the Sunnah, pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. What then is the result, and what is the reward? فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهُ اللَّهُ الْحَيَاةَ الطَّيِّبَةَ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُنَغِّصُ عَلَيْهِ حَيَاتَهُ إِذَا كَانَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَقَالِيدُ الْأُمُورِ قَدْ جَعَلَ حَيَاتَهُ طَيِّبَةً فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يُنَغِّصَ عَلَيْهِ حَيَاتَهُ لو اجتمع الجن والإنس على أن ينغصوا حياته ما حركوا في طيب حياته شيئا ما حركوا في طيب حياته شيئا لأن الذي طيب حياته هو الله سبحانه وتعالى ويجزيه الحسنى في الدنيا والآخرة ويجزيه بأحسن ما عمل في الدنيا بأن تكون حياته طيبة ويجزيه في الآخرة بأن تكون حياته فيها طيبة بأن يكون من أهل الجنة هذا وعد الله سبحانه وتعالى. Verily to him we will give a good life. This is the recompense, this is the reward of sincere and true faith coupled with righteous actions. Verily to him we will give a good life, and we shall pay them certainly a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do. To the best of what they used to do. Whoever is granted a good life by Allah, who can ruin that life for him? Who can ruin that life for him? If the one who owns the keys to all things has decreed happiness for him, who can take that away? Who can take that away? This is why it's so important to be sincere and to be truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal in public and in private. Your religion is a favor and blessing from Allah. Your deen, your obedience to Allah, and how you hold fast to the commandments and prohibitions, this is a provision and a favor and a grace and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one can take that from you or deny that right except for the one who provided it. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can make you a Muslim or take you out of Islam. And no one can make you a Salafi or take you out of a Salafi. It's only you and your creed and your belief and your actions and your deeds. And your deeds. It's not in the hands of the people. It's not in the hands of the people. So the one who knows his religion, the one who knows his Lord, the one who knows his Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the one who knows his own self and soul, and he strives his utmost to be truthful with Allah in public and in private, then what the people say about him will not harm him. What the people say about him will not harm him, and he'll not worry about those affairs. He'll not worry about those affairs. This is something that cannot be taken from him. It is something that cannot be taken from him. Alhamdulillah. Whoever is granted a good life by Allah, who can ruin that life for him? If the one who owns the keys to all things has decreed happiness for him, who can take that away? Who can take that away? Even if all of the jinn in mankind gathered to make his life miserable, they would not diminish anything of its goodness, because Allah is the one who made it good. He is rewarded in this world by a pleasant life, and in the hereafter with the life of delight in paradise. This is the promise of Allah, glorified and exalted. So the jinn and mankind, the evil from them, maybe they will try to strip him of that happiness. But if he has knowledge and he is aware of these affairs, and he does not fall for their plots, and he does not entertain those affairs, then they will not affect him. They will not affect him. Only whenever he is affected by them, and he's riled up by them, and he's tempted by them, and the likes like this, will he be affected? Will he be affected? But if he knows again his Lord and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he knows the religion of Allah azza wa jal, the deen that's pleasing, and he abides by that, then they will not be able to harm him whatsoever. He says, من أحياه الله الحياة الطيبة رزقه الله القناعة. رزقه الله القناعة. These things that come hand in hand. This is very important. Whoever is granted a good life by Allah, Allah grants him contentment. This is the fruit of having sincere and true faith. A person, he will be content. A person, he will be satisfied. A person, he will be happy, no matter what he's facing in life. Because from al-Iman is al-Imanu bi-rububiyyati Allahi Azza wa Jalla. To believe in the Lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal. To believe that Allah, He is the Creator. That Allah, He is the Provider. That Allah, He is the Sustainer. To believe that nothing happens except with the permission and the command of Allah. That, and likewise, to believe in the beautiful names of Allah and His lofty attributes of perfection. And from that is that He is Al-Hakim. Tabaraka wa ta'ala, He is the most wise. And everything that He does with His creation, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, is based upon wisdom. It's based upon wisdom. And it's all good and beneficial. It's all good and beneficial and all leads to a praiseworthy outcome. So a believer, he will surrender to the Lordship of Allah, to the power and authority and command of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he will worship him. And he will worship him. And this is the benefit of learning about Allah and learning about his rububiyyah. That one, he will surrender to the uluhiyyah of Allah, to his divinity, and he will worship him alone. Surrender and submit to him alone. He will be obedient in public and in private, putting great faith and trust and reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he knows that whatever happens in this life, it was from the command of his Lord. It was from the command of his Lord. And he would accept that. And he will find peace and contentment because of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in his book, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that there's no calamity that befalls except by the permission of Allah. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهَدِي قَلْبًا, and whoever believes in Allah, well, Allah will guide his heart. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهَدِي قَلْبًا, and whoever believes in Allah, then Allah will guide his heart. مَا أَصَابَكُم مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, no calamity befalls you except for by the permission of Allah. Except that Allah, He has allowed that and decreed that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and brought that into existence and caused it to occur in your life. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبًا, and whoever believes in Allah, then Allah will guide his heart. It's been narrated from Alqama rahimahullah that he said, هُوَ رَجُلٌ تُصِيبُهُ مُصِيبَةٌ فَيَعْلَمُ أَنَّهَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَيَرْضَى وَيَسْتَسْلِمُ فَيَرْضَى وَيُسَلِّمُ. He said that this is a man who a calamity will befall him, and he knows that it's from the decree of Allah, and he will accept that and be pleased and surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a means for guidance to come into the heart, to be content with the command of Allah Azza wa Jal and that which he decrees. The command of Allah, the command in his creation, the command in his legislation and law, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, his decrees and his creation, to accept these affairs wholeheartedly and to surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to believe and to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, a believer, he will find the sweetness of faith. He will find the sweetness of faith. The Sahih Muslim has come from the hadith of Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ta'ama حلاوة الإيمان من رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا ومحمد رسولا صلى الله عليه وسلم. The one who will taste the sweetness of Iman is the one who is pleased with Allah as a Lord and with Al-Islam as a religion and way of life and with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as a messenger and prophet, meaning a role model to be followed absolutely. So to be pleased with Allah as the Lord, this is what he's referring to here. Likewise with Al-Islam as a way of life, and with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet and role model, in this manner, a person, he will find the sweetness of faith. And to truly be pleased with Allah azza wa jal as the Lord means to surrender and to submit to him, and to suffice and be content with that which he has decreed. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. الرضا بالشيء يعني القناعة والاكتفاء به. That a person, he will be content with that, and he will suffice. He'll be content with Allah as his Lord and Creator, and he'll be content with Allah as his true God, whom he deifies, loves, and worships with obedience and servitude. and be content with that Islam as his way of life, and he'll not look for other ways. Rather, he will find the law and legislation of that Islam to be sufficient for him in his life, for him and his family. Alhamdulillah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be a sufficient role model for him, and he'll not look for guidance from others on a way contrary to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whoever is granted the good life by Allah, Allah grants him contentment, because this is the reality of Iman, to have contentment with Allah, to have contentment with the religion of Islam, to have contentment with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet and messenger. Then this is the means to have sincere, true faith and to taste the sweetness of Iman. So he says, من أحياه الله والحياة الطيبة رزقه الله القناعة فكان قانعا بما يحصل في بيته وأسعد من حوله إن وجد في بيته وممن حوله من أسرته سراء شكر وجزى من حوله بخير وإن وجد في أسرته وفي من حوله ضراء صبر وتجاوز عمن أساء من أسرته وليس ذلك إلا للمؤمن. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عجبا لأمر المؤمن. Whoever is granted a good life by Allah, Allah grants him contentment. He becomes content with what is in his home and brings happiness to those around him. He becomes content with what is in his home, what he's facing and what he's working with, and his family and his wife, for example, and the things that he has. He becomes content with that, and therefore he brings happiness. He's not always harsh, he's not always rude, he's not always looking for more. He's satisfied, alhamdulillah. And therefore, he himself is content and happy. And people who are happy, they bring that joy with them wherever they go. So he says, if he sees goodness from his family, he is thankful. And he reciprocates that. And if he encounters hardship or harm from them, he is patient and forgiving. And that is only for the believer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, wondrous is the affair of the believer. تأملوا يا إخوة من الذي يتعجب إنه محمد بن عبد الله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, reflect and ponder, O brothers, who is the one, who is it that has expressed amazement, and who is finding this affair amazing? It is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, who said, عجبا لأمر المؤمن. He said, wondrous, amazing is the affair of the believer. ما به. What is so amazing about the affair of the believer? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is finding amazing. What is so amazing about that? He says, "Inna amrahu kullahu lahu khair. In asabatu sarra'u shakara fakana khairan lah. Wa in asabatu dharra'u sabara fakana khairan lah. Wa laysa dhalika illa lilmu'min." He said, wondrous is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, wondrous is the fear of the believer. The Shaykh, he says, what is so amazing about it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarifies, indeed, all of his matters are good. If something pleasing befalls him, he is thankful, and that is good for him. And if something harmful befalls him, he is patient, and that is good for him. And that is for no one except a believer. That is for no one except a believer. Yani, again, according to the Iman, will determine these affairs. Will determine these affairs. How thankful he is in good times and how patient he is in bad times. What determines this is the strength of his faith. What determines this is the strength of his faith. Some people, because of a lack of faith or deficiency, then whenever good times befall them, they become arrogant or proud, or they become heedless and forgetful of Allah. And they use that prosperity or good times and their health or their wealth or their property in pursuit of that which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. In pursuit of that which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah provides them with eyesight, they look at that which is haram. Allah provides them with hearing, they listen to that which is haram. Allah provides them with many great blessings, and they use them to disobey Him subhanahu wa ta'ala because of a lack of faith. So whenever the faith is grounded and it's strong, deeply rooted, then in good times it will cause a person to realize these favors and to be thankful and to use the blessings of Allah in that which is lawful, and to avoid using them ever in something that is forbidden, earning the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. His faith will stop him from that and guide him to be grateful. And likewise, whenever the faith is strong, then in times of hardship or difficulty, or whenever there's a calamity from the loss of a loved one or property or wealth, or there's trials in health and the likes like this, then they will be patient. But this is according to the faith. So if the faith is strong, this is the case. A person, he'll realize that the command is the command of Allah, and that the creation of Allah, and that he is a slave of Allah, and that whatever Allah decrees is good. And many times the ills that befall a person are because of that which his hands have worked from evil, and he will repent to Allah and surrender and submit to him and take the legislative means to remove or lighten the calamity. Take the legislative means to remove or lighten the calamity while repenting and remembering Allah and putting trust and reliance upon Allah. And many times in that manner, the calamity will go away, even if he's still facing it, meaning it will go away in his heart because now he will find contentment by returning to Allah, by repenting to Allah, by begging for help and aid and support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will in itself lighten that affair and make that calamity sweet and good for him by being a means to guide his heart back to his Lord, back to his Lord. But some people in times of calamity, because of a lack of faith or deficiency, because of a lack of faith or deficiency, they are not able to bear. They become upset and they become anxious and they become sometimes angry, and maybe they will curse or they will scream or they will yell or they'll throw or they'll hit or they'll strike or they'll break things, so on and so forth, like the cause of al-jahiliyyah. This is because of a weakness in faith. So believer, he must know that the command is the command of Allah, and he must surrender and submit to that and be content. And be content and know that whatever Allah decrees is good, and it's for a test and a trial. And we're tried in this life with good times and with bad times. And we will be taken to account whenever we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever the shaykh, he says, فَمَنْ حَقَّقَ الْإِيمَانَ تَحَقَّقَتْ لَهُ السَّعَادَةِ فِي هَذَا الْأَمْرِ الْعَظِيمِ. So whoever achieves true faith has surely achieved happiness in this tremendous matter. يقول ابن قيم رحمه الله عز وجل في القلب شعث لا يلمه إلا الإقبال على الله. The shaykh, he says, في القلب شعث أي فرقة يعني تفرق. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, in the heart is a dishevelment that cannot be gathered except by turning to Allah. And in the heart is dishevelment, meaning that it's distracted and that it's split in different desires, many different desires and whims and wants and needs and the likes like this. It's not gathered or focused. La yulumuhu illa al-ikbaru ala Allah. Nothing can gather it and cure it except by turning to Allah with sincere devotion. La yulumuhu illa al-ikbaru ala Allah. وفيه وحشة لا يزيلها إلا الأنس بالله وفيه حزن لا يذهبه إلا السرور بمعرفة الله وصدق معاملته وفيه قلق لا يسكنه إلا الاجتماع عليه والفرار إليه وفيه نيران حسرات لا يطفئها إلا الرضا بأمره ونهيه وقضائه ومعانقة الصبر على ذلك إلى وقت لقائه وفيه فاقة لا يسدها إلا محبته والإنابة إليه ودوام ذكره وصدق الإخلاص له ولو أعطي الدنيا وما فيها لم تسد تلك الفاقة أبدا. Ibn Qayyim, he stated, rahimahullah, and the heart is a dishevelment that cannot be gathered except by turning to Allah. And the heart is a loneliness that cannot be removed except by feeling comfort with Allah. And the heart is sadness that cannot be dispelled except by the joy of knowing Allah and sincerity in dealing with Him, and in worshipping Him and fulfilling His rights and establishing His deen. In the heart is anxiety and worry that cannot be calmed except by gathering oneself upon Him and fleeing to Him. In the heart are flames of regret that can only be extinguished by being pleased with His commands, prohibitions, and decrees, and by embracing patience until the time of meeting Him. And upon that way, in the heart is a deep need that nothing can fill except His love. Turning to Him, constant remembrance of Him, and sincere devotion to Him. If a person were given the entire world and all it contains, it would never feel that need. It would never feel that need. The Shaykh says, "Lo u'tiya ad-dunya bi ajma'iha min ghayri al-ikbari 'ala Allah lam tusadd al-faqa abadan. Falladhi yudhibu 'an al-qalbi ma yuz'ijuhu yuqliquhu yudhibu safa'ahu wa al-ikbaru 'ala Allah bil-'amali as-salih." Even if the whole world were given to him, without truly turning to Allah, that emptiness would never be filled. What removes the distress, agitation, and disturbance of the heart, and what brings it back to serenity, is turning to Allah through righteous actions. It's turning to Allah through performing the righteous deeds. Again, the righteous deeds that are done sincerely for the sake of Allah, hoping for His reward based upon light and knowledge, not ignorance and desires. And the one that is according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi وسلم. وإن مما يتعلق بهذا الأصل في سعادة الأسرة أن يكون اختيار الزوجين قائما على التدين، مع عدم إهمال ما يحتاج إليه الإنسان في ارتياحه إلى من يشاركه حياته، هذا الذي وجه إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: تنكح المرأة لأربع، لمالها ولحسبها ولجمالها ولدينها، فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يداك. Among the foundations of family happiness related to this principle is that the selection of a spouse should be based on deen, should be based on deen, upon religion, yani upon the religion, yani how well they uphold the rights of the deen, how well they uphold the rights of the deen, while not neglecting natural human inclinations for companionship and comfort. And so you don't just neglect the dunya or what one desires from the worldly life entirely, rather you gather between the both of them, while the foundation and the base for deciding and choosing a spouse is the religion. Is the religion. You understand that? Is the religion. So he says this is precisely what the Prophet ﷺ guided us to. The Prophet ﷺ, he said a woman is married for four things: for her wealth, her lineage, her beauty, and her religion. So choose the religious woman. May your hands be in the dust. And may you be successful. May you be successful. فأخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن المراكبات في نكاح المرأة مالها جمالها حسبها دينها، وبين أن الذي ظفر وفاز هو الذي ظفر بذات الدين. وما أحسن قول القائل: ليس الفتاة بمالها وجمالها كلا ولا بمفاخر الآباء، لكنها بعفافها وبطهرها وصلاحها للزوج والأبناء وقيامها بالشؤون منزلها، وأن ترعاك في السراء والضراء. يا ليت شعري أين توجد هذه الفتاة تحت القبة الزرقاء. It says, so here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that the desirable traits in a woman for marriage are her wealth, her beauty, her lineage, and her religion. Then he clarified that the one who truly succeeds is the one who chooses the religious woman. The one who chooses the religious woman. And I have a question now. What does that mean? The religious woman. You choose her for her deen. She's a Muslim. Khalas. That's it? Huh? She ascribes to the methodology of the setup. That's it? Does that mean that? Huh? Or what is intended from the deen? No doubt these are things that she has to be a Muslim. Naam. Ascribing to the proper understanding of Al-Islam. Alhamdulillah. But then? Huh? She's acting upon it. This is the point. Barakallah fi. She's acting upon it. And she's implementing the knowledge that she has about Islam, that she's striving to know the deen of Allah, meaning know that which is pleasing to Allah from creed and statement and deed, and to implement that in her life, to implement that in her life by upholding the obligations and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. So this is the woman that one he will choose. He will look for this quality first, the woman who is striving to be obedient to Allah, the woman who is striving to hold fast to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the foundation for choosing a spouse. This is the foundation for choosing a spouse. The one that is striving apparently to be obedient to Allah azza wa jalla. The one who is striving apparently. It's seen. It's known. It's known. How could that be seen or known? By how she dressed, by her company, right? By where she goes, what she's doing in her life, right? Right, so who she mixes with, for example, like women mixing with other men, that's not righteousness, nor is it piety. And that's not strong faith, nor is it deen, that a woman, a young woman, will be mixing with men in classrooms or in job sites or moving freely with strange men, believing or disbelieving. These are not good qualities. And this is not a sign of strong faith, nor is it a sign of a good deen. It's a sign of strong love for the worldly life and desires to have the delight of the dunya. The delight of the dunya. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us to choose for the religion. So this is something that you have to be sincere with regards to. And if you're going to be truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal and hold fast to the Sunnah of your Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then be prepared to be different. Be prepared to be a stranger. Be prepared to be looked at like a weirdo. The likes like this, and especially in these days, be prepared to be looked at like somebody who's very strange, because the majority of the people, they're not holding fast to that. The majority of the people, they don't even claim that. And then those who claim that, the majority of them are not truly upholding those rights properly. Upholding those rights properly. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us of these affairs. Fatuba li al-ghuraba, with glad tidings to the strangers. To the strangers. So the true strangers, they do not feel lonesome. The true strangers, they do not feel lonesome. Why? Because they're sincere and they're truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah takes that from their hearts. Allah, He takes that from their hearts. You understand that? They have contentment. They're happy. They're in their home. Nobody's there. Nobody's there. They don't have a whole lot of friends. They don't have a lot. Alhamdulillah, because they don't need that. They don't need that. Not saying that it's not good to have friends, but this is not something that is a means for their happiness. And if they have friends, their friends is based upon their love for Allah. So therefore, they have friends that love Allah. And those who are sincere and true in their love of Allah, they're few. So they suffice with the few friends that they have. And they're rich and content with this. They're rich and content with this. They're happy. They're not depressed. They're not depressed. Oh, I'm stuck in my house. Nah, they don't think like that. They don't have psychological problems. They're not going to a psychologist to figure out what's wrong with them. They have sincere faith. They believe in Allah. They recite His book and they ponder and they study and they learn the words of their Lord. And they find so much happiness and joy. And this, they forget about the trials of this life and they only want to go outside of their home. Except for whenever it's necessary. Except for whenever it's necessary. You understand that, especially in this society. Especially in society. So al-Iman is the cure for all diseases. Al-Iman is the cure for all diseases, all distress, all depression, and all worry and all grief. The people who are facing these affairs is because of a deficiency in their Iman. It's a deficiency in their Iman. So having places to go and parties and the likes like this is not the means that's going to find or bring a person happiness truly. Any type of happiness that is not based upon sincere faith and obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla, it is short-termed, and it will go away briefly, and it's followed up by more regret and remorse. It's not going to last. It doesn't last. The only thing that lasts is that which is for the one who lasts. Understand? The only thing that lasts is the one that's done for the one who is everlasting, the one who never dies. You do something for Allah, and this is what will bring you happiness. This is what will bring you your happiness, barakallahu fikum, not anything else, not anything else. Doesn't mean that we'll neglect this life, that we'll have no concern for this life, that we can never enjoy anything. No, you can, but it will be in the limits of Allah, and your main aim will be to please Allah and seek His pleasure. And that will cause you to limit yourself and to suffice with that which is lawful and allowed, even if in today's society or in these lands, they may be few. There may be few. One will, he will be content with that, alhamdulillah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified that the one who truly succeeds is the one who chooses the religious woman. And the Shaykh, he says, and how beautiful are the lines of poetry. لَيْسَ الْفَتَاةُ بِمَالِهَا وَجَمَالِهَا كَلَا وَلَا مَفَاخِلَ الْأَبَاءِ. That a woman is not by her wealth, nor her beauty, nor by her father's honors, and in the feats of her father and her lineage and her forefathers and the likes like this. لكنها بعفافها وبطهرها وصلاحها للزوج وأبنائه. A woman, she's not considered by these affairs. Do not think that a woman is a woman, or that a woman has a high status, or that you will have a desire to be with her, or that she would marry, or that you will marry her and she will be your woman just because she's wealthy or she has beauty, or just because she has a nice lineage and her forefathers have great status and rank. But he says the woman is truly known by her modesty and her purity. بعفافها. By her modesty, by her shyness. And because the true religion and the true deen will call to modesty and shyness. From the greatest traits of Al-Islam is Al-Haya. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ دِينٍ خُلُقًا وَإِنَّ خُلُقَ الْإِسْلَامِ الْحَيَاء. That every deen, every religion, it has its manners. And that specific, that religion is known by, that the people of that religion are known by. وَإِنَّ خُلُقَ الْإِسْلَامِ الْحَيَاءِ. And indeed, the manners and etiquette of Al-Islam is al-haya, chastity, shyness. I mean, this is the religion of Allah. This trait. The people of Al-Islam properly, they have great shyness and chastity, and they have great modesty. First and foremost, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thus benefiting from that as well, leading them to have modesty in their dealings and to be shy even from the people, that they will be seen doing something that's not befitting, because they know that Allah, He sees them. So he says, but rather,
It's by her chastity, by her modesty, by her purity. She's not mixed or corrupted. And by how good she is for her husband and her children. How good she is for her husband and her children. A woman who has American dreams to be a career woman, to go out for her 9 to 5, and to get her own paycheck, and to have her own money, and to have her own job, and the likes like this. The woman who has this idea, this is what she's going to do. She's going to leave. She's going to go to school to get a job so she can go outside of her house all day long. She can work with the disbelievers. She wants to give her life to her career. She wants to have a career. She's going to be a career woman. She's going to do this. She's going to have a desk job. She's going to go there. She's going to so on and so forth. Do you think, what do you think that she's going to benefit her husband or her family or her children? What do you think she's going to benefit her husband or her children? This is from the calls of the devil and the misguided and the ways of the Westerners to disrupt the unity in the household and to take advantage of them. And to take advantage of them and to misuse them and to lure them into capitalism and to make money and to exploit them. SubhanAllah. They corrupt the household. How? By taking the woman outside, by taking the mother away from the husband and away from the children and separating the household in this manner. So wake up, my noble sisters, barakallah fikum. So the woman, the righteous woman, the true woman is not by these affairs here. Not by her wealth, and not by her career or her diploma or her degree. All of that stuff will not benefit a person. Will not benefit a person. It's not by her beauty simply, nor by her lineage or the feats of her father, her forefathers, but rather it's by her chastity, rather it's by her purity, rather it's by the fact that she's good for her husband and her children. وَقِيَامِهَا بِشُيُونِ مَنْزِلِهَا, and likewise that she is able to establish the affairs of her household, of her home. She's caring for her home. This is the woman that you look for, a woman that's going to care for you and your children in your home, not care for herself outside of your home. Understand that? This is something that's very important. A man, he will never be satisfied that his wife will be serving other strange men outside of his home. And also along with that, تَرْعَكَ فِي السَّرَاءِ وَالضَّرَاءِ, and as well is that she observes your rights in ease and in hardship. In ease and in hardship. She observes your rights in ease and in hardship. And whenever you're wealthy and things are going good for you and your finances are good and you take care of her and you buy her what she needs and more, she's happy with you and she is good to you and she's nice to you. And likewise, whenever you're broke or you're struggling or you're going through hardship or there's financial difficulties, you're not able to give her more than what she deserves, or even sometimes you're not able to give her some of her rights because of a calamity that befell you, she is also by your side. She's also with you and content with you. So she's with you for the sake of Allah. So therefore, whether you're wealthy or poor, does not change the way that she treats you. Does not change the way that she treats you, because she's not treating you the way that she treats you because of your wealth. She's treating you the way that she treats you because she believes in Allah and the last day. You understand that? So this is the woman to look for. فَانْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. You choose the one that has the strong religion, the good deen. But then he says, يَا لَيْتِ شَعْرِي أَيْنَ تُجَدُ هَذِهِ الْفَتَاةُ تَحْتَ الْقُبَّةِ. He said, if I only knew where I could find the likes of this woman under the vast blue sky. And he meaning that the likes of these women, they are rare. But if you're truthful with Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah will provide you. Allah will provide you. Barakallahu fikum. So he says, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ هُنَا فَتَيَاتٌ يُبْحَثُ عَنْهُنَّ بِمَاءِ الذَّهَبِ بَلْ يُبْحَثُ عَنْهُنَّ بِكَنُوزِ الذَّهَبِ وَيَقُولُ الْمُصْطَفَى الْمُخْتَارُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا أَتَاكُم مَّن تَرَضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُن فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيضٌ. And these such women are searched for as if with liquid gold, rather with treasures of gold. And you would give your last dollar to find the likes of this woman. You would give your last dollar to find the likes of this woman, because if you find a woman who is strong in her religion and sincere in her faith, then you will have nothing but goodness, because Al-Iman brings nothing but goodness. And the people of Al-Iman, they bring nothing but goodness, and they do not harm the people. They do not harm the people. And whenever they fall into error, they're quick to rectify that, to repent to Allah, to apologize to those whom they harmed. And they're not looking for troubles nor trials, and they're not selfish or greedy. Rather, they're looking to work together to make it to Jannah. So if you find a woman like this, then this is what you're looking for. This is what you're looking for. Now, speaking of the men, he says, indeed, such women are searched for with gold, with liquid gold. And rather, they're searched for with treasures of gold. And the chosen prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if someone comes to you whose religion and character you are pleased with, then marry him. If you do not do so, there will be fitna, any trials on earth, and widespread corruption. And widespread corruption. فَجَعَلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اخْتِيَارًا الزَّوْجِ مَبْنِيًا عَلَى كَوْنِهِ ذَا تَدَيُّنٍ وَخُلُقٍ وَشَارَ إِلَى أَنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْأُمُورِ التي تدفع بها الفتن وتستصلح بها الأرض وتستصلح بها البيوت. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تزوجوا الودود الولود فإني مكافر بكم الأمة فإني مكافر بكم الأمة. ومع هذا التوجيه العظيم لم يهمل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يحتاجه الإنسان لكونه بشرا لتستقر حياته. ولذلك أيها الإخوة، يقول أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه، كنت عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأتاه رجل فأخبره أنه تزوج امرأة من الأنصار، والمقصود أنه خطبها ليتزوجها. فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنظرت إليها؟ قال لا. قال فاذهب فانظر إليها. لماذا؟ قال فإن في أعين الأنصار شيئا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم established that the choice of a husband should be based on his deen and character, based upon his deen and character. Some brothers, they have a deen, what is apparent, they come to the prayer, they pray in the congregation and the likes like this, but their manners are not very good. Their manners are not very good. They have lowly and bad manners and the likes like this. It's not sufficient to have apparent deen. If the deen was truly good, it would bring about the good manners and conduct. It would bring about the good manners and conduct. So this is something to look into. How does he carry himself, and how are his manners, and how is his conduct, and the likes like this, to know how he deals with circumstances and situations, how he acts whenever things get hot, or somebody tells him no, or doesn't go the way that he wanted it to go. Does he flip and change into another person, or does he remain calm and keep his composure and face situations and challenges that he does not like, or problems, in a good and noble manner? Because some people, maybe they smile in our faces, and they're very nice and generous, and whenever they get married, they make their women cry. Whenever they get married and they're alone with a woman, he can't do anything except make her cry because of his bad manners and his demanding of rights, and because he has no patience nor forbearance, and he has a lack of understanding of the religion, or he has bad conduct and manners. Bad conduct and manners. So this is something that we have seen. This is something that we have seen. Brother, you think, mashallah, this mashallah, very, very noble, handsome brother, very courteous and very kind. But suddenly things change whenever he gets married and people live with him, and now he's not so nice in his home. In his home. Allahumma musta'an. Allahumma musta'an. So this is something that one has to be careful with regards to while selecting a husband for his women, for his daughters, so on and so forth. So the Prophet established that the choice of a husband should be based on his deen and character. And he indicated that this is among the greatest means by which trials are averted. The earth is set aright and homes are rectified. And homes are rectified by selecting a man who's known for his strong religion and he upholding the rights of al-Islam and the Sunnah, and also for his noble and good conduct and manners. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, he said, marry the loving and fertile woman, for indeed I will boast of your numbers before the nations. Despite this lofty guidance, to select the spouse, male and female, and the man who will look for a woman and the woman who will look for a man based upon their religion and manners, based upon their religion and conduct. You understand? Despite this lofty guidance, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not neglect the natural human needs necessary for marital stability. Therefore, dear brothers, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he narrated, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when a man came and told him that he had married a woman from the Ansar, meaning he intended to do so, and meaning that he had proposed to her. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, did you look at her? He said, no. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, then go and look at her, for there is something in the eyes of the Ansar. For there is something in the eyes of the Ansar. So he says, هذا الرجل مهاجري من المهاجرين خطب امرأة من الأنصار فجاء يخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه خطبها فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنظرت إليها؟ قال لا، قال اذهب فانظر إليها. لماذا؟ لأنه مهاجري وفي عيون الأنصار شيء من الصغر قد لا يرتاح له المهاجري، فانظروا كيف أرشد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فانظروا كيف أرشد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى أن ينظر إلى ما يرتاح إليه لكونه بشرا، ولم يهمل هذا الجانب. وجاء أن المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله عنه خطب امرأة فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اذهب فانظر إليها فإنه أحرى أن يؤدم بينكما، فذهب فنظر إليها. This man was one of the Muhajirin, and those who migrated, and he had proposed to a woman from the Ansar, and from the women of Al-Madinah, from the women of Al-Madinah. So they're really strangers, complete different lands. And the likes. So he came to inform the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he had proposed to her. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, did you look at her? He replied, no. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then go back and look at her. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that? Because the man was from the Muhajireen, and among the Ansar there are something distinctive in their eyes, meaning their eyes has slight narrowness. And I look, any that they may not be used to, any meaning that their eyes were slightly different from that which is known, they're narrow or the likes like this. This was something known about them. So and the Muhajir might not feel at ease with that, and he might not be accustomed to that. So he's used to what he's used to from the people of Mecca, from his mother and his sister and the likes, and from his aunts, what he's seen from the women, so on and so forth. So if he marries a woman who is different from what he's accustomed to, maybe that will affect him. Maybe it will not. Likewise, maybe he'll be able to handle that. Maybe he'll actually like that. Well, Allah knows best. But the point is that there is something that is different than what he's accustomed to. And in order for him to make the proper decision, he must be aware of that and see it, and then choose based upon that decision. Understand? So then just freestyle and jump on head in. Oh, she's righteous. Khalas. Let's do it. Like this, because there are other things that the human being has likewise along with the deen. And along with the deen, he also has to be able to be comfortable around her and to be attracted to her and the likes like this. This is all something to observe or to consider. This is all something to consider while searching for a spouse. So he says, so notice how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guided him to look at what would bring him comfort, recognizing his humanity. And he did not neglect this emotional and physical aspect. It is also narrated that Mughir ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu proposed to a woman, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go and look at her, for it is more likely that love and affection will develop between you. So Al-Mughira radiallahu anhu, he went and he looked at her. He went and he looked at her. انظروا يا إخوة أرشد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المغيرة أن ينظر إلى المرأة التي يريد أن يتزوجها ثم أخبر بالحكمة وهي أنه أحرى أن يؤدم بينهم أن يؤدم بينهما وأن تستديم الحياة على هناء بينهما. فلم يكتف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأن يعلم الرجل بتدين من تقدم لخطبتها، وإنما رأى الحاجة البشرية من أجل أن يرتاح الإنسان لمن يكون معه في حياته، وهذا أمر من أعظم أسباب استقرار الأسر. فإذا تزوج الرجل امرأة وقد ارتاح لها وهي ذات الدين، كان ذلك فيه سعادة لأسرته وديمومة لعلاقته الزوجية. Look, dear brothers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guided Al-Mughira to look at the woman he intended to marry, and then he explained the wisdom behind it, that it is more likely that affection and harmony will develop between them, and that their life together will continue in happiness. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not suffice with the man merely knowing the deen of the woman he proposed to her. He proposed to. Rather, he also took into account the natural human need that a person should feel at ease with the one who will share his life with, the one who he will share his life with. And this is one of the greatest causes of family stability. This is one of the greatest means of family stability. If a man marries a woman with whom he feels emotional, with whom he feels emotionally at ease, and she is also religious, then that results in happiness for his family and long-lasting marital harmony. marital harmony. So therefore, this issue here of sincere faith in performing righteous deeds, this is the means for individual happiness. And likewise, a believer, he will look for someone in the similar manner, because they will be likewise happy, and they will have contentment themselves, and they will be easy to cooperate and to deal with. And whenever two parties have a mutual agreement that they are seeking the pleasure of Allah and they're hoping to go to paradise, that they believe in Allah in the last day, and that they refer their affairs back to the book and the sunnah, the understanding of the salaf of this ummah, then anytime there is a misunderstanding or anytime a problem arises, they will readily take these affairs back to these sources, and they will readily accept the decree and the command, and they will readily rectify their affairs based upon that. Based upon that. So if there's a dispute and a man comes out of hand and the woman, she says, Barakallah fi, this type of conduct you're performing is not pleasing to Allah. This will affect him. Or she says, Fear Allah, Taqillah, Ya Rajul. This type of conduct is not pleasing to Allah. Do not do this. Barakallah fi. It would affect him. Say, oh, you're right, it's not pleasing to Allah. Astaghfirullah. And he will think about it. Maybe initially, maybe he'll walk away. Right? But it will go in his heart. And whenever he gets alone by himself, or maybe he'll leave the house, for example, which is good whenever there's disputes. Alhamdulillah, get out of the house. This is the way, the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he'll reflect by himself, and he will realize he was wrong, and he will repent to Allah, and he will come back, and he will beg Allah to rectify the affairs of his household, and he will come back home and apologize. And the same thing goes for the woman. If she comes out of hand, and she does something that's not proper, then he will say the same thing. He will say, Barakallahu fi, the way you're speaking to me is not pleasing to Allah. It's not pleasing to Allah. The right of the husband is great. You know that. Jazakallahu khairan. And this will affect her. This will affect her. So because they believe and they have this foundation, you take them back to this fundamental that we're seeking the pleasure of Allah. This is what we got married for in the first place. I'm looking for a woman that will help me obtain the pleasure of Allah. And a woman is looking for a man that will help her obtain the pleasure of Allah. They're going to hold their hands together and build a family seeking the pleasure of Allah, hoping to go to paradise, hoping to establish the tawheed of Allah and the sunnah in their home. And the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their home. So a couple like this, as has preceded, they will be able to face the challenges of life. They will be able to sail straight in the waves of life, in the ways of life. And even if there are problems, or even if there are issues, or even if there are some times events that occur that are not any the best, they will handle them in a good manner, and they will rectify them in the best way, and they'll be able to stay afloat, and their family will not drown in the trials of this life. In the trials of this life, and to choose the woman or the men based on their religion, based upon their understanding and application of the deen, this is first and foremost, and this takes precedence. And this is heavier in the scale, but that does not mean that one he would neglect the other aspect, any the other aspect of the appearance and the likes like this. So if there is someone that he sees and he's not physically attracted to them whatsoever, even if they have a strong deen, it's not best for him to advance, because it's not going to be easy for him. It's not going to be easy for him. And to live with someone who he's not attracted to, even if they're the most pious and righteous. The same thing for the woman as well. But the advice is to realize true beauty, it lies in the religion. True beauty, it lies in the religion. So the physical beauty, this is something that's important, no doubt. This is a point that the Sheikh is making here. But true beauty, it lies in the religion. It lies in establishing the deen. It lies in upholding the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It lies in obedience to Allah in public and in private. It lies in obedience to Allah public and in private. So the one who realizes this, he will be able to sacrifice some other aspects that he likes from the worldly life. He'll be able to sacrifice. Oh, she's not the most beautiful woman. She's not, if he sees, for example, a woman, she's not his dream woman, for example, whenever he looks at her. But she is upright and good. She doesn't turn him off entirely. And he doesn't look at her and think, oh, I will never marry the likes of this woman. No, if it's something that he can work with, then, and she's known for piety and righteousness, this is something to consider. This is something to consider. So a person, maybe he will see a sister, oh, that's his dream woman, but then she's going to be a nightmare for him. A nightmare for him, and a nightmare for him. Likewise, as well, a man. So the marriage is something that is very beneficial. and very important. But a person should not be hasty with regards to that, because if you get the wrong spouse, it will bring so many problems, so much turmoil, so much heartache, and so many trials because a man, he chose the wrong woman, or because the woman, she chose the wrong husband, she chose the wrong man, and they accepted that affair. So to not be hasty. The true beauty, it lies in the religion. It lies in establishing the sunnah. It lies in obedience to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person, he will look for this first. A person, he will look for this first. So that means that we should busy ourselves rectifying our religion and rectifying our deen, especially those who are looking to get married. Those sisters who are looking to get married, rectify your religion. If you're young, alhamdulillah, you need to spend as much time as you can learning your deen so that you can become righteous. Because taqidu shayla yu'tihi, somebody cannot give something they do not have. So how can you be righteous if you don't even know what righteousness is? And how can you be obedient if you don't know what obedience is? And how can you uphold the rights of Islam if you are unaware of them? And many of the sisters, they fall into that which is haram because of negligence in learning. Because of negligence in learning. So to spend time learning your religion so that you will get married and be a righteous wife. And so that you will be a righteous mother. You can take care of your children in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, the men as well, they should do similar, learning their religion so they can be a righteous husband, so they can be upright and noble and good father, and role model and guardian in their home, protecting their family from all that is harmful and bringing nothing but good for them, working for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. The next means the author, he mentions, the second one is the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, to establish the dhikr of Allah in the homes. We discuss this after Maghrib, insha'Allah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.